In every legislative session, there are surprises. On Tuesday, the State Senate Public Safety, Intergovernmental, and Military Affairs Committee deferred a House bill that would have temporarily stopped someone on the FBI's watch list from the Terrorist Screening Center from having a gun. The measure was introduced by Representative Carl Rhodes, who says he still thinks Hawaii needs the measure and that he'll pursue it into the next session. Representative Rhodes joins us now by phone. Good morning.
Good morning, Beth Ann.
Why did you think Hawaii needed this measure now?
Well, I think there's been a national movement to been looking at loopholes in gun control laws, and this was one that came to my attention fairly recently. I had always assumed that we would not authorize the sale of a weapon, of a firearm, to someone on the terrorism watch list, but as it turns out, when we did the research this summer, my assumption was wrong, and we do allow it.
Don't first-time buyers, though, have to be fingerprinted by the FBI?
They do, and there is a background check done. And even though the information in that background check would indicate whether or not you're on a terrorism watch list, the police would have no legal basis for denying you a firearm.
Even though that person might be on the watch list?
Even though they're on the watch list, for sure. The police can see that information, but they would have no, under Hawaii law, they would have no legal basis for denying the weapon, denying the purchase of the weapon.
Now, most people think that we have wonderful gun laws in Hawaii. In fact, last year, the Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence ranked Hawaii in the top 10. But you're saying that this loophole exists and the only way around it is legislation.
That's essentially what I'm saying. I mean, we do have very strict gun control laws. We have very low gun violence rates. In fact, I think we're number one in the country. That's a combination of several things. Part of it is attitude. We don't just start shooting each other because we're having an argument. It's also because we have strict gun control laws. It's also because we're geographically isolated. So I lived in the District of Columbia 25 years ago when it was murder capital of the world, and D.C. had very tight gun control laws, tighter than what we have here. But you could cross the Potomac River to Virginia, which had virtually no gun control laws, and you could bring weapons in. So, yeah, we do have strict gun control laws, and this bill was just filling what I view as a small but fairly important puka.
How many other states have similar legislation?
Only two. Only one has legislation. New Jersey has a bill that they passed about 3 years ago, and Connecticut just recently, November, December of 2015, instituted the denial if you're on the suspected terrorist list by executive order.
So when you talk to the chair of the Public Safety, Intergovernmental, and Military Affairs Committee, did you get any answers to why he and his committee won't hear this bill?
Oh, they did hear it. I haven't talked to him since then, and I don't know why he deferred it.
There was no reason given at all?
I haven't talked to him. I was sick this week, and I have. And this, yesterday was a deadline, and I just haven't had a chance to talk to him. So I'm sure he has his reasons. I don't know what they are at this point.
Is there any chance in your mind that this might be resurrected this time around, or were you really looking toward next session?
I don't think it's going to, because there was a Senate version of the bill too, and PSM never even heard that one. So theoretically, you could put it in another bill, but then you'd muddy the waters with there are four other gun control bills that are still alive, having to do with the not giving guns to stalkers, not giving guns to the mentally ill, not allowing people who are intoxicated to have them in public, and then there's another one that has to do with checking to see whether somebody who's applied for a gun and gotten it has subsequently committed a felony outside the jurisdiction where they got the gun. So theoretically, you could slide it into one of those others. The title would probably be big enough, but I'm not going to try to do it just because it muddies the water on what I view as other important loopholes that we need to fix.
So at this point, do you really sense that maybe there's just not an appetite for a measure of this sort?
Well, I don't think so. It passed the House fairly easily. I mean, there were no votes, but it passed the House in a full floor vote. If you look at the public side, outside the building, the Star Advertiser did an unscientific poll where 86% of the people said yes. Who in their right mind would give guns to terror suspects? And if you And this mirrored national results of scientific polls, where 83% of people said that people on this on the terrorism watch list shouldn't be sold guns, and even 77% of Republicans agreed with that. So, you know, there is an appetite for it. I think the appetite is probably strengthened by what happened the same day that the bill was deferred in Belgium. You know, there, I consider myself a liberal, but the threat of terrorism in Hawaii is not zero. It's you're more likely to die of secondhand smoke or be in a car crash, but you know, we have a way to reduce the risk of harm done by a potential terrorist in Hawaii, and we need to take it.
Given all that you said about the appetite for a measure like this in other places and just nationally, why do you think then there are so few states which actually have one?
Well, I think part of it is a deference to the federal government on this issue, because there is a national security aspect of it, and it's, you know, there's always this difficult line that you try to walk between civil liberties and national security, and I think most states would prefer to just let the feds do it, but as most of us are aware, the federal government is in the throes of a partisan gridlock, and nothing's happening there, and, you know, in the meantime, the General Accountability Office of the U.S. Congress, which is their investigative arm, they did an investigation on people on the suspected terrorism list trying to purchase guns, and they said it happened 2,233 times, an attempted purchase. There were 2,233 attempted purchases, and 91% of the time they were successful. So the states start looking at that and say, you know, if the feds aren't going to do anything, then maybe we ought to.
But in Hawaii, given the fact that you said a little while ago, you know, you may have a higher chance of dying from secondhand smoke, is that the kind of reason that someone would use to say, well, we just really don't need to have one more bill about this going through?
Well, I don't think so. I think the dying of secondhand smoke is always a higher, all across the country and probably almost all of the world, you're more likely to die of secondhand smoke than you are to die of a terrorist attack. I mean, even 9/11, the year of 9/11, approximately 3,000 people died in that terrorist attack. That same year, 30,000 people died from gunshot wounds in the United States, and another 130,000 were injured. So, you know, relative. Exotic risks are always exotic risks are ones that we focus on more, but usually it's the prosaic ones that get you in the end. So I'm not suggesting that this is that HB 1813 is what am I trying to say? It probably won't affect very many people, but I do believe it's a prudent measure for minimizing the risk of terrorism, which is not zero.
All right. As we've seen, that certainly is the case. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Representative Carl Rhodes joins us this morning to talk about HB 1815.